So yesterday, conservative essayist and Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist William Safire passed away at age 79 due to pancreatic cancer. He was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon, author of the On Language column for our partner, the New York Times. And as our guest Gail Collins can affirm, he was, frankly, a friendly philologist, if ever there was one. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
So I think one of the things many people often think of first when they think of William Safire was this particular clip of tape. It's William Safire in July 2009. He's speaking at George Washington University, but he's talking about his role in the famous Cold War kitchen debate between Vice President Nixon and Nikita Khrushchev.
The AP photographer was out there and couldn't get in. So he took the extreme act, the photographer, of taking his camera and throwing it over the fence into the kitchen, into my arms. And so I looked through. I saw Nixon gesticulating, and I clicked the shutter and threw the thing back over the fence. And the AP man yelled, "You had your hand over the aperture, idiot."
Safire did ultimately get that picture, though. It became famous. Gail Collins, does that sound like the William Safire that you knew and worked alongside, kind of the scrappy, clever, do whatever he needs to do to get the story?
Totally. And also a guy that you would really want to go out to dinner with. He had the best stories from his incredibly long career.
And I bet he said them in a very, very great way. Yeah. We also have a clip of him from The Daily Show earlier this year when he was talking to Jon Stewart.
Well, look at the way John F. Kennedy used victory.
Right.
And he used it to explain or interpret the Bay of Pigs when he said victory has 100 fathers and defeat is an orphan. In other words, everybody claims victory,
right,
but when things get rough, they all disappear.
This is also something that we kind of know about William Safire, his love of language and the way that it's used in politics, right, Gail?
Yeah, I think we had many readers who actually did not connect the man that they read about on language with the political columnist, because he seemed like such a completely different kind of entity. He loved that stuff. I mean, when I was at United Press, I was a humble beginning reporter, and somebody came up to me one day and said, "You're in the On Language column." And I grabbed it, and I was. He had credited me with inventing a word, which was blush wines, which is sort of a very light red, rosé.
You invented that?
I didn't know.
Wow.
I invented that. I thought
you must have sighed a sigh of relief to know that you were in the On Language column for something good.
I was just so amazed at the idea I was in it at all. I mean, it was one of the happiest moments of my life. Huh. I mean, it was just ascending into some country that you just never imagined you'd be invited to traipse around in.
Well, you've sort of given us a sense in your story about being in the On Language column, but from the standpoint of being at the New York Times, how influential was Safire in both that column and as being known as the conservative with a beachhead in, the great Satan, the New York Times itself?
It's funny. He was, the columnists are all beloved, but in strange ways, not influential. I don't think that I don't think that Bill Safire converted many people, but he made so many friends, and he was such a good source. If you wanted to know something, he was wonderful about helping out reporters and trying to help them get the information they wanted. He was always completely true to the things he believed in, but he also was a complete Times person. He was really loyal to the paper, and he would do anything to help it.
He won a Pulitzer Prize for his commentary in 1978 about the Carter White House budget director, Burt Lance. So, but he's been writing columns for decades and having a massive audience, not just for his political columns, but then after he stopped doing that, for the On Language column, as you talked about. What made him so good? Why was he so good as a columnist?
He was like of the older age of columnists, the people who just knew so many people and knew so much stuff that they could always tell you something that you didn't know. Because everything is now so out on the internet, we've kind of lost that kind of style of writing, and he was very good at it. And for our paper, he really did bring in just sort of the way people and his camp were thinking, the way the things they thought thought were important. And there were some issues like freedom of the press and civil liberties in which he was just a passionate defender, no matter who was president, no matter what their politics. And he was also a very genial guy. He was fun to have around. I'd never met him when I first came to the Times because he was in Washington all the time. And when I was named a columnist, the next day this guy sort of burst into my office.
This guy.
And he says, "I'm Bill Sapphire. Hi, congratulations. I'm so glad you're here. This is so wonderful. Welcome to the group. You know, maybe you'd like to attack me. That would be fun. We really, it's so good if we could do something like that. I always enjoy it if columnists are attacking each other. So if you ever want to attack me, really, please feel free." He was just like that.
That is amazing. Do you believe he was the person who was responsible for Spiro Agnew saying nattering nabobs of negativism, describing the liberal critics of...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Those were his creations.
That was Willie Bill Sapphire.
Yeah.
Well, he was
a badge.
I'm not sure how he felt about the media part of it, but I think he just loved that turn of phrase. He was very proud of it.
Well, he also was, I mean, he was known as the conservative columnist from the New York Times, but briefly, he also did things like he voted for Bill Clinton. He wasn't always voting Republican, although he was conservative.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to make a statement about his disappointment with George Bush at that point in time. But he was, in general, loyal to his tribe on that front. He generally stuck with the Republicans. He, you know, toward the end, all the way to the end. I mean, when he was writing, he would. He was a very big defender of the idea that there was some kind of a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, and that there had been meetings and stuff like that.
Gail Collins is a columnist for our partner, the New York Times, talking about Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist William Sapphire, who passed away.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.